And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa and the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to very busy San Diego Landings in Point Loma. Kevin Nakata, the Sea Samurai, is here. And wow, what a prize he is brought in to give away today for one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show.
Unbelievable, and a huge shout-out to Taipan Fishing Rods.
Yeah.
Basically, we're gonna somebody's getting a brand new rail rod. You know what I mean?
Yeah. New, Fuji guides. I mean, this is like a beautiful rail.
We all know how difficult it is just to even get that. Like, I mean, that's a difficult thing to go to the store and buy, and somebody's literally going to get a brand new $500-plus fishing rod at the end of the show today. So,
man, Taipan Rods.
Such a cool thanks to Taipan and to Kevin for, and I mean, this is a beautiful, high-quality rod, too. It's not like you're getting a white fiberglass rod with three guides and a tip on it. I mean, this is a beautiful West Coast purpose-built rail rod for one of our lucky callers at the end of the show. If you want to get your shot at winning that, or better yet, just your opportunity to talk to Kevin, so much killer info and so much knowledge going on today, 213-432-1090. That's our call-in number, 213-432-1090. Or you can send us a text via the Let's Talk Hookup app. Again, make sure you include your contact info, because if your text gets read at the end of the show, you're going to be eligible for winning that great prize. If your phone call makes it on the air, you're going to be eligible for that great prize. We're basically going to select a potential winner from each category. Kevin's going to flip a coin at the end of the show. That's going to designate whether the winner comes from the caller or texter side, and you got yourself a brand new Taipan.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to say a couple of big shout-out, happy birthdays to Pamela Benseman from Rancho Leonero. Happy birthday, Pamela.
Happy birthday,
and
Pam.
Also our one and only Tommy P. Happy birthday to both of them today, and have a great, fun day for sure. And,
let's go fishing, Tommy.
Yeah, let's go fishing.
Yeah.
And also want to mention, too, I still have two spots left on our Islander Kayak Mothership trip. I know. It's unbelievable. September 13th through 15th, I'm going. Corey's going. Ron Lane's going. It's going to be such a great time. I know Hayden Lane's going. We have a great group of people, but we still have a couple spots open. So if you want to go with us, it's $495, includes all the food, and we limit it to only 22 kayaks. And it's pro anglers. Thank you very much, Kevin. You know, everything else, the inflatables, they're there. The eclipses. You could bring an Outback's one of my favorites to fish on it. But the Lynx. It's their new deal, which is a really people fish Lynx on there. But really a great, great time on the water there. And think about how good San Clemente Island is going to be
in September.
And it's a rare. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity, only because of the Guadalupe closure and the Islander had to change their schedule around.
Yeah,
so
this boat should be down at Guadalupe doing shark diving.
Absolutely.
This is a, you said it best. It's a very rare opportunity to fish that island. I mean, they're always sold out in September doing other things. So to slide this kayak trip in there is a big deal.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal. So if you want to go, grab one of those spots, just go to our letstalkhookup.com page, letstalkhookup.com, go to the shop page and just click on that and pay right online and grab one of those spots. I also want to mention, too, that the Islander has a bunch of three-day and day-and-a-half and extended day-and-a-half trips that have availability in September, October, and November because of that shark diving closure at Guadalupe. And you can book those right online. Online at fishermanslanding.com.
If anyone wants to go on that Islander trip with the mothership, the kayak mothership trip, and they want a resource to find out what they should bring, they can check out our YouTube fishing reps.
Oh.
I gave a seminar. It's a 13-minute seminar that you can watch on YouTube where you learn exactly what you can and can't bring and what you should bring.
No kidding.
And you'll learn
on a mothership trip.
Yeah, that was on the Islander.
Oh,
that
no kidding.
Great. Yeah.
And how do we find that, Kevin?
Fishing reps on YouTube.
Fishing R-E-P-S?
Yes.
On YouTube.
Yep.
And that's you.
Yep. That's me.
Okay, yeah. Fishing reps.
13-minute seminar on the back of the front of the boat.
Yeah. On the front of the boat.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I'll check that out so I can remember what to bring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, hey, let's continue on with our catch report and find out what's biting out there. We are going to go back to the surf and hit up the surf guru. Gundy Gunderson's on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Having fun,
you,
man.
You, Gundy.
Waiting to hear about it.
Well, that good offshore fishing. Yeah. I feel like the Maytag repairman right now. But I do have something to add. There was a rumor. I wasn't able to get a photo or substantiate it with other sources, but I was told that a Dorado was hooked off the San Clemente Pier. So
wow. Wow,
that gets into my zone.
Here's another crazy fish story.
Amazing stuff.
Ron and I were out surfing at the point on Friday. Saw a turtle.
Really?
That's cool.
Just outside the surf.
Very cool.
When have you ever? I've seen them offshore.
Right.
Never seen them that close. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Turning to Hawaii over here.
Crazy.
So
huh?
Cool.
Yeah. So is
you know, I think what's different, you know, the last several seasons, we've had that warm water, but, you know, if you drop down 110 feet, catch a sand bass, it's cold, you know. So, but this year, you know, the warmth is throughout the water column, you know, and then I think the combination of all that bait on the 100-fathom curve has really made a difference. But on the beach, it's corbina fishing, Pete, and it's as good as it gets, and probably the best it's been in several seasons. You know, the sand crabs are thick. The water temp's perfect right now. We just went through a good set of tides on the new moon. And like I said, you know, the beaches are going to clear out a little bit after the holidays. So for the corbina specialist, this is the best time of the year. But other species also on the bite, lots of yellowfin, spotsfin, calico bass, sand bass, sea bass, striped bass, barred perch, sargo, halibut, sharks, and rays, all in the report. Warm water, like I said, strong tide. Took line sinker reported hot yellowfin croaker bite. Not a species in abundance, usually north in Santa Barbara waters, but they said they're everywhere. Shrimp and squid have been top baits. Guys, you know, catching and releasing 10 fish in a session. Henry's, Goleta, Carpinteria have been good beaches. Lots of halibut and mostly short sea bass with a few legals to 34 inches. Wiley's reported good action on the reef beaches, calico bass, chunky sand bass, white sea bass, yellowfin croaker, and halibut all in the catch. Just Fishing reported good corbina action on South Bay beaches. Anglers reporting 1 to 3 fish in a session. Lots of crabs, sand crabs the best. If you screen for a soft shell, better your chances. Top fish, 4-pound class, an 8-pound striped bass was taken off Dockweiler. Big fish reported good corbina bite along Surfside, Dog Beach, Bolsa Chica, Huntington. Just good conditions all throughout. 2 to 3 fish in the session. Lots of 2-pound class fish with kickers for 4 pounds. Ketchum Tackle reported lots of bait around the piers. They had a couple thresher sharks hooked off the piers. The Bonita are in there. Good corbina action all along the peninsula. Hogan's reported excellent corbina action on Capel Bay beaches. The stretch from the pier south has been red hot, kicking out fish to 5 pounds. Pacific Coast reported good corbina fishing from the harbor south to Carlsbad State Beach. Lots of 2 to 3 pound fish topped by a few in the 4 pound class. I think that 4 pound, 13 ounce, almost 5 pound fish still leads the shops derby. And then lots of bonita on the pier, a few thresher sharks. So fishy, fishy, fishy would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, wow.
Jeez.
Whoa.
That's as good of a surf report as I can ever remember, really. I mean, you talk about bait on every beach, exotics on every beach, the staples on every beach. I mean, that's it.
It's a mixed bag catch, and the volume of bait and everything, it's all really come together. It's quite a season.
I love it. Next thing's going to happen, wide open Dorado on the surf.
It's not far from it.
Awesome. Hey, if you got that blue water, what the heck? Give it a try. Get the long rod out.
There you go.
Gundy, as always, buddy, a great report. I know it's Corey's favorite, and I'll bet he's listening right now with a report like that. I'm sure he's on his way to the beach this afternoon. Appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
All right, gents. Great show, man. Just love listening.
Speaking of Corey, I heard there was a rumor that he and the world's greatest fisherman, Brandon, from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, were out on his skiff offshore fishing.
Not once.
Oh,
but
really?
Twice?
Yes.
Whoa!
Yeah, the Sandin. The
that's like momentous for Corey Sandin.
The Corey Sandin Mobile has made it past the 100-fathom curve once, but twice this season.
Wow.
You know, and maybe again. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, it's Corey.
Isn't that good, you know?
Well, it's Corey's style. You know, I mean, Corey is a guy that likes to cast lures and catch fish. And, boy, you can do that offshore right now. There's no doubt about it, man, for sure.
I bet he was throwing a weedless MC swim bait on Patty.
Right.
Hey, I want to remind you, if you're wanting to hit the beach with this fantastic fishing that Gundy was just talking about, you got to check out SurfFishTackle.com. They got all your surf fishing needs. Also, CCA California and Bill Varney are teaming up again this summer for several of those on-the-beach surf fishing clinics. You'll find all the details at FishTheSurf.com. Phone lines are absolutely packed solid. If you want to get your shot, it's 213-432-1090. Let's talk to Randy, who called us from Costa Mesa this morning. Randy, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Really a good show, and it's been a lot of fun to listen to this morning.
I've got
a couple of questions. I got a couple of questions that I'll take off the air. First, Kevin, I'd like you to talk about the line of fishing rods that you're repping. What kind of variety do they have? Just talk a little bit about the whole line. And then for Ricky, I'm going to be going to Cedros in 2 weeks. And I want to know what the proper size Sabiki rig is for that. And I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
You want to go first?
Kevin, go for it.
Okay. So Taipan rods is everything's made in Yuma, right? So the rod blanks are actually rolled in Yuma. The flags are all distributed along the mandrel. They roll them, and then they bake them, and they put them up. And then after that.
Graphite composite?
So he has different varieties. So the main thing that he's developed over the time that he's actually been building these blanks, he does graphite extremely well. He uses all sorts of different kinds of composite materials from Toray all the way to, you know what, some different stuff that's out there. Anyways, he also builds in, he does a lot of thin blanks. So you look at a Taipan rod, and it's extremely thin compared to a lot of other manufacturers out there, but they have actions that mimic a lot of these glass rods that are, you know, three times the size in width. So the special thing that he does is he gives them cores. And they have different size cores that depends on the blank action that he's looking for. So, like, the rail rod's a quad core. So he's actually built in different flag lengths to be able to give the parabolic action or set off that he's looking for. On the rail rods, it goes up, meaning probably about, like, two-thirds of, or a third of the rod where it stops. And then it's right at that, heater hose material will stop, and it has crazy shut off from there all the way, you know, to the tip. Not shut off, but it has a good action from there to give you that the ability to actually turn fish in and not tear hooks out and to use the glass style of rod in that portion. So very interesting different blank materials. The bass rods are all different too. He has, you know, frog rods that have a different kind of core in them. He has swim bait rods that have different cores, but he makes specialist materials on the blanks and matches that for the best part of that technique. So if he's looking for more of a soft action and he wants something to have a parabolic action, he's going to put more glass in it. He's going to work with the graphite to build up the thinness of the blank and also to give it that fast action quality that graphite has. So it's a very big range. I would say that when someone approaches that brand, you're really looking at what took probably more than many months to develop and to get the understanding of what it takes for that action rod to be used for that technique.
I'd like to add, too, that those guys do it, in my opinion, the very right way. I know he spent a lot of time with those rail rods being on the Shogun in a prototype kind of state, and he also left one, a couple of them, with our guys in the tackle store. We didn't carry Taipan rods. It wasn't a, hey, I really want to sell you these. It's like, I want to make this thing right. What is it? And so we've had a couple of those rail rods in the shop that, you know, all the kids, when they're going day and a half fishing or going big fish fishing, will pull on. We've knocked out multiple fish over 200 pounds and a lot of those high 100 pounders. But more than anything, they'll take the info from Renee on the Shogun and say, hey, man, this thing was great, but it was a little bit too fast. Mm. Or the guys at the tackle store be like, man, I really liked this thing, but I want it to shut off a little bit quicker, a little bit slower. If this was one, you know, if instead of this thing shutting off at the fourth guide, if it was the fifth guide, I think it'd be perfect. And so they did a lot of tweaking with, you know, guys on the Shogun and guys in the tackle stores that are going all the time and did what I think, you know, talking about just another rod company, did what Leon always did best too, is listen to guys that are using them and take that and put them into their rods. Yeah, I think these things are going to really turn a corner and
because
really
he's listening to the angles.
100%.
Yeah, that's great.
100%.
And he also makes a lot of bass fishing rods and saltwater rods, kind of a full line of rods. Right?
I mean, I have a 10-foot jig stick outside your office here, studio, and then I have a reel rod in here, and I have bass rods in the car. So it's really a variety of products that he has. He services a lot of customers. So if you're looking for products, you know, we're hoping to get into more stores and certainly we would like to.
Where can you get them now?
Well, I mean, they're hard to get right now. So, you know, we hope that someone that would come in Fisherman's Landing and pull on those rail rods would show some interest. If you're trying to get more Taipan products out there, what we really could use is references and be able to go out there and have you request them at stores. So we work really hard to promote it, and I use them all the time. That's all I use anymore.
Do they have a website?
They do have a website, and also the best resource is really going to be us, like Fishing Reps.
Fishing Reps is the name of your company.
Yeah, Fishing Reps is the name of my
company.
You'll
be the source to find the hookers.
To really understand the product, right. We're doing the most deepest dive right now in this product because we're giving a lot of feedback to Simon. Renee's given up tons of, and your shop has given up tons. Fisherman's Land has given tons of information on the railroad side of it. So
great.
That project is up and running. The production's ready to go. We've been manufacturing rods. So there's a handful of stores out there. You know, it's if you're looking to get a rail rod built and you want that Taipan rod or blanks, start talking to your stores. Get it out there. Let's get it in the stores and let's make it happen.
All right. What are you going to take to Cedros for bait catchers?
Standard 4 hook sabiki rigs, number 6 or number 4 hook size. You don't want too teeny because your bait falls off. You don't want too big because you're not trying to catch salami. So number 4, number hooks, number 4 or number 6 hook size, and your favorite style of 4-hook rig.
All right, very good. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
Sounds good to me, buddy. How about this time we talk to Harry? He's calling us from La Jolla. Hi, Harry. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
Good morning.
Kevin, I really like fishing for halibut, and I've been trying to improve over time. When you're fishing in the San Diego area for halibut, what is your rigging setup? What is the way you have your lines all geared up, and how do you fish it?
So recently, this year, I've been really focusing on the Alabama rig. I know that's come up a handful of times, but the Warbaits Premium Alabama rig with the underspins on the bottom, you know, honestly, an ounce to an ounce and a half with good-sized swim baits, all the way up to a 1 ounce to a 3/4 ounce on top wheelless head, and either that or an underspin, just lots of blades. I know it sounds crazy to use an Alabama rig for halibut, but trolling it actually is very good. That's why I use a really heavy head on the bottom, or a couple of them, is to bring it down in the water column to like 50 feet and actually work that and drag that A-rig down into like the, you know, San Diego Bay Area or just off the beach a little bit. Covers a lot of water, draws a lot of attention, and they love blades. They just want to see that shine and that flash and the vibration. Put a big bait on there. Put a big swim bait on there, a kicker, PK7, an MC7, something like that. A big swim bait.
That's a big bait.
Yeah, but the fish you're trying to get on an A-rig, I feel like you're trying to get the bigger fish anyways, and you have the draw to do it, so you might as well stick to a big fish game. You'll get a lot of small fish too, surprisingly. You know, I fished an 8-inch bait on my A-rigs. I got 12-inch spotties to eat it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Now, do you fish all the arms with big baits, or do you put one big bait and smaller ones around it? Like, how do you, on an A-rig, so two things. Maybe if you could describe what an A-rig is for those that haven't seen it, the two types that Warbait offers, and then what you put on all the baits,
all
the arms.
First of all, you know, if you want to come and see it in person, it's at Fisherman's Landing. So stop in there, and you should inquire about what an Alabama rig is and see it in person and talk to the salesman there and to understand what we're talking about on the radio show. But anyways, the Alabama rig has 5 wires coming out of a single head, a single swim bait head. And the wires have a swivel on each end. If they don't have blades along the arms, then it's just going to be those swivels. Those swivels then are open for you to do whatever you like. It's an open canvas, right? You can put an underspin on the bottom two that are, you know, usually you put on heavier heads on the bottom and lighter heads on the top so it rotates and faces downwards with the heavier heads underneath. because there is an upright way, an orientation for the Alabama rigs. Anyways, there's two wires going down underneath the bait on the bottom, a single wire going down the middle, and then two wires coming out the top. And it's literally just wire. It's not it's very visible, so it's not like you're going to be using fluorocarbon on this. This is a very obvious rig to the fish. And, you know, on that, those heads, you put on bigger baits, swim baits, things like that, like a normal swim bait head, but you have five of them, essentially. So
pretty wild.
You're throwing a bait ball.
Yeah, you're throwing a bait ball. And they work. Perfect description. And they work great. And it's not just halibut, sand bass, spotted bay bass, calico bass. Everything that's inshore, I mean, I'm guilty of throwing
we'll
it. I'm guilty of throwing it at Dorado. Don't do this, guys. Please, you're gonna spare yourself the trouble of absolutely smashing some of your gel coat and also destroying that A-rig. So don't do it. worth it.
And I might add too, Dana Landing in Mission Bay, East County Bait and Tackle, Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle also carry war baits and the A-rigs.
Lots of great places to go find war baits.
Yeah,
for sure.
So all our friends over there, they all carry it. Talk to the experts in the stores. There's lots of guys that fish that product. I mean, it's a well-known SoCal brand. Come into the stores, come in with, you know, hardly any knowledge and learn something, and then walk out and support us by buying some product and support the companies we support.
There you go. Hey, question from Marshall here. He has a bunch of good questions, but this is an interesting one. What is the point of diminishing return when it comes to jig weights? How heavy do you think is too heavy to fish effectively? Says the man that throws a 600-gram.
If we're talking about
that's
night
a great
fishing,
question, though.
Yeah.
Totally.
If it's a night fishing question and big bluefin, I think 600 gram is really breaking some new ground, and the fact that we got bit on the way down shows that there may be a market for bigger ones. I'm not sure. It's coming.
That's not typically what you fish, though.
I fish the 600.
Okay.
That's my jig now. So my concept for why we worked with Submission Fishing Company to develop that size was I want to beat every single company to the race downwards to get to the bluefin faster, right? So if I can get the big jig down to the fish before anyone else, I'll be one of the three guys that are hooked off that school first.
All
right. Unless it's a wide open bite, right? But typically it's a race to get down there first. So I wanted to be down there first with 600. The next best thing is like a 420 or 500. And those will still get down very fast, but just think about how much more 100 grams gets down there. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the rate of diminishing return is. I really don't.
So Ricky, for a normal human being that would be going into Fisherman's Landing Tackle, what would be kind of the most popular?
About half
like,
that.
About like 300.
I would say, so our general recommendation, if you're on a nice night of fishing, nice night meaning not a lot of wind, not a lot of swell, 300 gram is overwhelmingly like the most popular size of a knife jig. And then when you're on nights when it's particularly breezy, if it's going to be a little choppy, that's when stepping up in size becomes more common. Clearly, not, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to, can't, won't. There's a lot to be said, like Kevin's saying, about the first one being down. The one thing that does seem to be true about those jigs is they definitely do not seem to get bit nearly as well when you start to have a lot of scope to them. Mm. Like, it's a vertical jig, and for whatever reason, being vertical makes a really big difference with those things. So if the boat's being blown away from you at a higher rate of speed, if you're fishing a little heavier spectra, that's when having a heavier jig, keeping the scope out of your line, staying more straight up and down seems to make a bigger difference. But I would say 300 to 400 gram overwhelmingly is the most popular, but that doesn't mean that a 500 or 600 gram.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what Kevin's saying is a great call. Yeah. I think the tech said it so good, because there is some benefit to being the first one down and being scoped, but there's also some negative in the fact that, like, it's a lot more work.
It's a lot of work.
Literally double.
And myself, just turning 67, I wouldn't even dream about dropping a 600 gram. But is it effective? Obviously, it's very, very effective, for sure.
I think we're going to learn more about it. You know, people are going to start doing some different things and trying different weights and getting more comfortable. So that's what I'm excited about.
It's fun watching this fishery develop, because multiple things are happening. There's this side of it where jigs are getting bigger and going faster, and we're attaching them to a very traditional big fish rod and reel. Mm-hmm. The rod that Kevin brought in, it's a big two-speed. It's a rail rod. It's a big jig. Right. It's fun watching that side of it develop and also the complete opposite side of it, that like when we had Gavin and Matt on last time talking about how the, you know, the traditional side of that vertical jig fishing, those super short, very, very parabolic yet yet strong butt sections, single speed jigging reels, like, you know, it's fun watching the, you know,
during the day,
the true jigging style rod versus our true big fish rods and watching them come together. And with so much big fish around right now, like, you know, it's just like the swordfish thing. Like, it's all new to us catching them this way, and we just kind of build better mousetraps as we learn more about it. It's fun. We're all kind of learning it together. It's pretty cool.
No doubt about it. All right. Well, speaking of learning together, let's find out. Our fishdope.com reporter, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide, is standing by.
Yeah, he is. And that catch report today is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, the busiest knife yielders around. The best processing when your trip returns, whether it's a long-range trip, a local trip, a private boat trip. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, now you can purchase fresh fish. They have smoked and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their tuna burger, the poke kit. Stop by their brand new location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or call for details and order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Also, be sure to check them out on Instagram at the real fishermans processing. We say it every time too. Please make a reservation when you're going. Even if you're going on a short trip, you have to have a reservation right now. They're literally that busy. The only people that are getting cut are people that are able to make a reservation. It's very easy. Call the number, send them a text, say, hey, I'm going fishing on these dates. I need to make a reservation.
Whether it be this year or next year.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I might add, too, because they're so busy, they need employees. If you want to work at a great spot, just call the general, actually text the general office number at fishermansprocessing.com. You can look it up and text them and say, hey, I want to come work with a great team over there. Fisherman's Process.
And that's it, man.
All right. Captain Dave, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Kevin, Rick, Pete, what an outstanding week, like Brian Woolley said. And Kevin, I listened to the beginning of the show, and you were saying historic. Yeah, historic. 840 Dorado at Dana Point. Never happened before. It's historic, like at a different level of historic. So, yeah,
it's very,
very, very historic.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, he's going crazy up there right now. He's looking down at this going crazy. Here's a really cool. We could talk about fishing's phenomenal, but I got a couple of phenomenal stories. My little sister was out fishing. She's getting into fishing now, Pete, and she was out fishing.
All right, Donna.
Really?
Yeah, she was out fishing 2 days ago. She was so excited to call me. She caught. Now, Donna doesn't, she's just really starting to get into it and get into her groove. She came down here and fished a little bit down here, caught her first wahoo down here, but she went out with my brother, New San Mateo, and she caught and took home 7 Dorado, and she said she was releasing Dorado for 2 hours. She was out of her mind. She was so excited.
That's so cool.
Wow. Go, Donna.
Exciting stuff. Kevin Cubby Paul, Pete, he called me last night. His kids went out on Kevin's new little center console, and they had 50 Dorado in 2 hours, 8 miles outside of Oceanside Harbor yesterday.
Crazy.
And his son Tyler is lifeguard in Oceanside. Now listen to this. I thought someone else was going to. I was thinking maybe the surf guru was going to talk about it, but a black marlin washed up on the beach on Friday morning in Oceanside. A black marlin.
Come on.
Whoa.
Really?
You know where I'm at. This is what Kevin and Tyler told me last night. I mean, they said, you going to be on the show? So,
those guys are straight shooters, so a black.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's up on the beach. It was dead, washed up on the beach, but who knows? I know one of my clients was on a kelp patty on Wednesday, and he said all the Dorado started jumping out of the water. And there was a big fish chasing him around. He didn't know what it was. He'd never seen anything like it before. They didn't have their camera.
Marlin.
I thought it might have been a Mako shark, but who knows? Maybe it was a black marlin. I don't know. Crazier things are happening. This is the most unbelievable time to be fishing in Southern California. Just unbelievable. Like Kevin was saying, Ricky and Pete both say, you got to – who knows what you're going to catch? You going on a day-and-a-half trip? I heard that guy ask. Who knows?
Yeah, you better bring
everything you got. You better bring it all.
Yeah. And, you know, Dave, the fun thing about it is being a Fish Dope member right now is so awesome.
Totally.
Because you get to read all the stories that guys are calling in multiple times a day to Danny and the boys over there at Fish Dope. So absolute must to have fishdope.com if you want to follow what's going on. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, Dave, how do we find you?
Gang, I'm hard to not see. I'm all over social media, Your Saltwater Guide, and then I have a really cool website, waterguide.com. If you're tired of following boats and you want to be where the fish are, check out my website. I work in Fish Dope and Danny every single day. YourSaltwaterGuide.com. Thanks for letting me be on the show, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
See you, Dave. Great job. Appreciate a great report. We look forward to talking to that next week. And, hey, we appreciate you. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls. More great text messages. You stay tuned. It's Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
On your next fishing trip, you want to maximize your catching power by using the best jigs available. That's why you need Sea Falcon. These handmade Japan brand certified lures will take your fishing and catching to the next level. All Sea Falcon jigs and plugs are hand painted in Japan, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures. For knife jigs, short jigs, poppers, and plugs, Sea Falcon lures get it done. Check SeaFalconUSA.com.
Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our lime margarita, tiki rum Mai Tai, vodka mule, or mango margarita. Or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Springlock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here with the Sea Samurai. Fishing's happening. Phones are happening. This
man.
Has been a great show, buddy.
So much fun. Let's go ahead and jump back into the phone.
You got it. This time we're going to talk to Armand. Caught us from Seal Beach this morning. Good morning, Armand. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm hoping to get some more details from you guys about slow pitch jigging. First question, is there a difference in the rods between that slow pitch jigging and the high-speed jigging? And then I was hoping you might be able to explain that PE scale on the rods and then maybe what would be an appropriate rod size for going offshore for tuna. Thank you.
So slow pitch jigs, and we use them, the Submission Fishing Company jigs, that's a local company in Carlsbad, which we also rep. They make everything from a 20-gram all the way to a 600-gram, as mentioned. And the real juice there behind the slow pitch jig is the rod. you got to have a very soft rod in order for it to give the action to essentially what Mike usually says on his live streams on Thursday, is to throw the jig in up through the water. You're throwing it and creating action. Imagine if you, because it's just a piece of lead, just remind yourself it's a piece of lead that's shaped. Essentially, imagine that you're trying to create a rubber look, right? A fluid look out of a lead jig. You have to create that motion. And so having a very soft, more than likely parabolic action rod that's going to lift the jig and then toss it and scoot it up through the column, you know, 2 to 3 feet at a time is essential. Now, aside from that, there really is nothing else to the rod. It's not about, you know, creating more leverage out of it with the ultra parabolic action. You're using the rod to create the action, to create the biting, the enticing part of the jig, and the fall as well. The fall is also the second part of it. The pitching part, which is jigging in slow pitch jigging, is where you're tossing the jig constantly up through the water column. The fall you'll get bit on quite a bit as well. It's usually the fish following the jig up. And when you hook a fish on a slow pitch jigs, man, does it bend.
Fully bend. So, fully bend.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. JP, our main man on the phones there, is a very busy guy, but there's a line open right now, 213-432-1090.
I'm just going to add one real quick thing to his last one, and it was the ask about what the PE line rating is, and we were talking about some of those, you know, very traditional jigging rods that are done overseas. PE is a line rating system that it's just never really been adopted out here so much, but probably so it's basically strictly based on diameter. You know, here we always talk about line size via pound test, 50 pound, 60 pound, 80 pound, and it's just how we do it. What PE is it's only solely based on diameter. So they're saying, like, we don't care what your line manufacturer says, what pound test it is. It is, you know, 0.08 diameter or 0.09 diameter. And PE is just the scale of that. So, you know, whatever it might be, you know, a big fish rod would say, like, it's a PE 8. Well, that's basically 100. That's like what we would consider 100-pound line or a rough diameter that would be around 100-pound test. But it's basically a sliding scale, you know, 1 through 12 or 1 through 15, that's just based on the diameter of line size.
And one manufacturer's line rating, like if they see this is a 50 to 100 or a 40 to 50 pound, it's totally, everyone is different,
right?
So
you're so right.
Cowstars are different than the Shimano one, and
right.
I'm sure Taipans are different. So best thing to do, I think, is go into the tackle store,
yeah, no doubt,
and have somebody bend the rod for you.
Yep. Yeah, you got that right.
It's like talking meters and feet and PE to braided pound test.
Yeah.
Essentially.
All right. Have a great text here. Thanks. Thanks for that. Some good stuff there again. 213-432-1090. Been a crazy busy day here. And thanks to JP for manning the phones there.
Right?
He's been going crazy. Joe from Dana Point has a question. What's the difference between the J90 and your 10-foot jig stick?
We use Z90Ms for like the lighter. Essentially, you're going to be casting a very small jig, like a Kicker 15 Lite. It's a very whippy rod, smaller, shorter. It's not anything to do with the casting distance. It's just leverage point at that point because it's such a soft, you know, length or soft rod for the length. And a 10-footer, it has a bit more backbone and it can throw a bigger jig like a Kicker 25 Lite. So we use the Z series, the 100M and Z90M as our baseline for surface irons, and there'll be differences coming out shortly, maybe a heavier version. But the Z90 is a really good right now. It's an essential for me to cast a Kicker 15 Lite because it's a very hard jig to cast. It's so small, weighs less than like an ounce and a half.
Good call. Right. Hey, cool. Another great text came through. Speaking of those rods, this one is from Russell in Huntington Beach. Kevin, I just purchased a Valiant 300 single speed, so very small, accurate single speed.
Mm-hmm.
What rod do you recommend that I go with that?
You know, it depends. That's a kind of a specialist item right there. It depends on what he's going to be doing. But if he's going to be doing light bait fishing, which I would assume is what he's going to be doing with straight braid off the, you know, fishing plunker bites or Dorado bites or whatever it is, a 7-foot, 7'6" medium action rod rated from 20 to 40 is a good rating right there. That's going to be essential. We're developing bait rods right now, too, so we'll bring them out towards spring next year. But that is going to be a very good rod to have right now.
All right.
Cool.
Good stuff. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. Daniel and Rancho Cucamonga is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up, Daniel?
I have a question for Kevin. Hey, Kevin, what would be a nice 8-foot rod?
What are you fishing? Are you fishing offshore? Dorado, tuna?
Yes. Yeah, the rod and tuna for my
Trinidad 20. Okay, great. Yeah, you're going to need straight braid on that. You're going to need a soft rod. So, you know, a Taipan 80, you know, Z80M is going to be the way to go. An 8-foot rod. You're going to need something with a bit of tip to it. So it's definitely going to be a bait rod or, you know, getting around people kind of rod. That's what I would recommend and be ready for, something with a seat on it too. The deckhand grips are also a really great option, but if you're going to be out there fishing it a lot, be comfortable out there with the seat and get out there and fish it, you know, quite comfortably.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Great text from Hugo here, and he says, my son gave me some Shimano waxwing jigs. I was wondering if they would work for catching Dorado and the best way to fish them.
Yeah. Wow.
Ask the sports bar about that, man. That'll eat them like crazy.
Yeah, the wax swing. Man, when that first came around, they were such a, you know, different
novelty. Yeah.
Yeah, they were so different. Benny Florentino really fishes the stuffing out of that thing, and he always is telling the greatest stories about it. Dorado will eat. That will eat it for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Fish it fast.
Fish it real fast.
And that's one of the beauties of wax wings. It stays in the water really good, even when you're really burning it. And those Dorados really like something zipping by them fast like that. But they're going to bite it.
Yeah.
Probably a number 118, which I think is the junior size.
Okay. Yeah. The color doesn't matter.
Probably
just
not.
Throw it out there.
Probably not.
I always was a fan of the bone, though. Just
the bone, especially for calico fishing.
Yeah.
I was a sandy old man myself.
Yeah, that's a good one, too, man. Yeah. No, everything eats a waxwing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, another great text come through. Good morning, guys. Is there anything you can do when you get – this is going back to Kevin's kayaking days. Not that you're not a kayaker anymore, but spent so much time. Is there anything you can do when you get caught by an extra set of waves on the way in? There's been a couple of times it's happened to me, and I've always turned sideways and roll, so I'm really looking for some tips. We appreciate that. It's from Rory in Lakeside.
Awesome. Awesome question. You know, getting sideways is always your death sentence in the surf. So if you can avoid that at all costs, you know, that's the biggest thing. I was always preaching to my customers that you need to pedal in, not paddle. Because the paddling is a very slow thing compared to pedaling. You will definitely be able to out-pedal the wave versus paddling through it. And you just get tired when you paddle through it. So instead of, if you have a Hobie especially, when you're coming in, watch the sets behind you. Look for a particular calm set that's coming in and get on the back side of the smallest wave and pedal on the back the whole way in as hard as you can. Make it into about knee-high, jump out, pull your drive out, and then walk it in.
There you go.
That's a good tip.
Perfect tip. All right, let's jump in the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Sean? Sean's calling from Lomita. What up, Sean? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, when I pick fishing poles, and it would be basically before the rail era, I would not only pull on it from the butt end, but I'd go to the tip and pull on the tip to feel the amount of recoil the fish is feeling. What is the best technique, and what's the difference between choosing a rail rod over the old school way?
You're talking about pulling on it in the store, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the store, taking the tip and pulling down, seeing how that recoils. How's it going to feel on the fish?
Right. So, in my opinion, what you're looking for when you're pulling on a rod inside the store is you're not putting all your weight into it because you're going to lose the sense of what the rod's going to give you. Right. You're looking for shutoff points. So when you're looking down the tip, you know, the whole rod, you're looking and watching from, you're turning your head sideways and you're holding the rod in your right and your left hand and you're looking at from a sideways profile, you can see where the rod's going to stop bending as much. That's going to give you an idea where your shutoff point is, and that's going to give you an idea what the action might offer. And obviously Rick's here. He works in the shops a lot. I pull on him a lot too for, you know, guys like him, buyers and things like that, that nature. And they almost always are not pulling as hard as they can, as much as they're looking at the shutoff points and the action of the rod. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's a great call. I think what you need to do is go into a shop that's got some good inventory of the different size rods that you want. Trust that the guy behind the counter is going to pull all of the right things for what you want to do. I want a 40-pound rod. Mm. That guy behind the counter should grab all of the appropriate 40-pound rods, knowing that every one of these is going to be right for the line size. Now you put this in your waist and let's pull on all of these. I'll take the guesswork out of making sure that it's the right 40-pound rod. Of these, you tell me what's most comfortable to you. What doesn't make your back hurt a little bit? This one stretched my arms a little bit. Like, hey, this one's way more comfortable. Well, all of these were...
And you'll know the difference.
Yes. You don't have to be a rod expert to know what's more comfortable for you to hang on to.
Yeah. And if this one's like, oh, man, that hurts, right? No. You don't want that rod.
Yeah, that's what... And Kevin might love that rod.
Yeah.
Because he wants to put a hurt on him, and it doesn't...
Sure.
His arm's a little shorter or a little longer, and it doesn't pull any... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So make sure that the salesman is grabbing you all of the things that are right for the size that you want to fish. Then you go through and see what's more comfortable of those right ones.
Yeah. It's like choosing a golf club. You know, you have an expert there beside you telling you that this is the right length shaft and you need this size club. So, you know, it's very important to come to the stores and pick the brains of the experts that literally what they do is pull on blanks and pull on rods and tell you what lures
they
work.
They know exactly.
That's what their job is.
Hey, here's another great text from, and thanks a lot for the call. Good morning, and this is from Derek in Lake Elsinore. I was wondering what setup you used in while filming in your kayak, which is a good question.
That's
because you do a lot of that.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good content creator.
So the thing about GoPros is that you can have a finite amount with your real limitation is the battery. Avoid using the stock batteries that come with it. There's a way for you to actually power them using an external power bank. That's a really key thing you want to learn really quickly. That and looping. It's the looping part of it is if you just write these notes down and start researching on YouTube because it's really hard.
So
to
an external power bank. That way you can leave it on all the time and just have a big card in there.
Exactly. You can have a 64 gig card and then when you loop, you're only capturing the 5 minute period of time throughout the whole day you could be fishing. You might only use 1 5-minute clip unless it's like really good bite.
I see.
So
if you set it to loop, then you don't have to go through hours and hours
of
video.
Yes, you only capture the moment where you start at when you stop 5 minutes or you stop the camera. It captures 5 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever you set the looping time to only capture that last 5 minutes or 20 minutes.
Okay,
that's it.
And by looping, that would be when you stop the camera. That would be a loop.
Yes.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
It's really good to limit the amount of card usage.
All right.
All right. Hey, another great tech I'm going through. This is from Ken in Chula Vista. I just bought a brand new Talica 16. Which Taipan rod would be best for that reel? Also, I'm jumping on the Searcher tomorrow on the Turner's trip, so wish me luck. That's
all right.
Good
Ken
luck.
And Chula.
Yeah.
Good luck, Ken.
I love that Trinidad 16.
Talica.
Or Talica, yeah. Talica or Trinidad 16.
Yeah, both really.
They're both excellent, right?
Yeah.
I use a Talica 16, too. I actually use it as a mini, like, rail setup because it's a great.
Plenty of power.
And it's got a capacity, too. So, you know, if you're using, like, 65 Power Pro or 80, I wouldn't use really 80 on mine, but, like, 65 is kind of the perfect balance for the hollow. That's, like, a really great reel size. I honestly would pair it with this rod, the one that we're giving away, the Taipan, the XX rail rod, only because if you do hook something large, which that reel can handle, you're able to actually power it and muscle it up and still have the action like a heavier bait setup that will allow you to use that reel at its maximum potential. So it's a good that reel is just a great size range. You can do the small stuff to big stuff, but the rod is also going to need a range from small stuff to big stuff. I think actually a smaller rail rod is going to be better in this situation with that reel right
when
now.
When you say a smaller rail rod, what size is that?
The double X that we offer.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a great Guadalupe outfit, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like how long is that rod?
7'6", and it's rated 50 to 100, so it's sitting in a smaller range of that rail rod. It is a lighter setup, and it's got thin blanks to remind yourself that it's going to be a light rod to hold for what it is, but it has a lot of power. So yeah. I would recommend that. That would be my go-to.
All right. Real quick text from Gavin in San Clemente wants to know when you guys are going to have garage sale in your garage. That's a good question,
yeah,
right?
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Rare.
Soon. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information. We're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new Taipan rail rod. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Okay, it is time to find out whether we are going to be giving away that Taipan rail rod to a caller or texter. Kevin, do us the honors of the coin flip.
All right.
Okay.
It's a big coin.
Here we go. It's a big coin.
We have a texter today. Congratulations, Joe in Dana Point. You are you got yourself a brand new rod. Congratulations.
Wow.
You are going to love
it. Kevin will be contacting you and make arrangements to get you that rod. And Kevin, great job, man. We love having you on the show. I love fishing with you on my boat because, man, you know how to catch fish for sure.
Yeah, we got to go get them.
We got to get them. So good luck this afternoon on your fishing adventure or later this morning.
Yeah.
But how do we get your products? How do we get a hold of you? How do we find out more information? Want to talk to you about stuff.
So great thing to do for us is to follow our social media platforms. It's a visual sign that we're getting support from your community out there. So fishing_reps. You don't even have to do the underscore anymore. Just do fishing reps. We're definitely dominating that name right now. That is us. I have myself, my other guy, Lane. We're doing it right now as far as SoCal. We're going to be growing into other places. The best thing also to do to support us monetarily is to go and support your stores. They carry products that we offer to them, War Baits, Taipan Rods, Submission Fishing Company, and Kicker Jigs. Those are our four lines right now. Grab some of that product, learn how to use it. We will show you how to use it on our platforms. Ask the guys in the store. They are well aware of what is biting and what's going to be working for those biting fish. And we encourage you to ask many questions. Look for us for the leadership in and understanding the how that product works.
And I might add, too, if you're a manufacturer and you're looking for an aggressive marketing rep, call Kevin.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Our contact information is out there. And we have fishingreps.com, too. We also
fishingreps.com.
Yes.
Kevin, great job. Thanks very much for today. Thank you, JP, for working those phones real hard and the board today. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll be back. Corey and I will be back next week. Rick, good luck down in Louisiana catching those fish with the Shimano boys. Next Saturday, Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Land. He's going to be here talking a lot of good fishing there. And then next Sunday, all the way from the Baja, Mr. John Ireland from Rancho Leonero. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.